Seems to me that it creates an injustice.
The present law also has an escape clause, which allows the court, the judge, to exempt from arbitration if the judge's opinion good cause exists to do that. This bill would actually remove that escape clause, and I think we should not remove that escape clause.
Well, I would leave the escape clause in for the places that already have it, but we wouldn't like to see it spread to the rest of the state, you know, because it is in certain areas. We'd hate to see it, because then what happens, then everybody has to go. It's totally mandatory everywhere. And it may be that it works in Portland and some of those areas, but it just seems to me that when you're dealing with people of different populations and different age groups, different eras, that you just have to sometimes take this into concern.
Mr. Chair, we could just use line 9 on page 2, the presiding judge of the court may exempt from arbitration, and then reference the...
Actually, I would...
We could, but since Senator Shoemaker wants to give the court broader discretion...
Any reason to take away from the court the right to have something tried if the court thinks that's appropriate.
Okay. Well, further questions from Ms. Williams? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got the Dash 1 amendments. Why don't we just take a moment to look at those also if we haven't. I think that just adds deposition expenses as to what may be awarded.
That's correct, Mr. Chu.
Okay. Well, let's try to take these amendments one at a time, if I may. Let's try with the Dash 1 amendments. The chair would move the Dash 1 amendments. Any objection? If not, those are adopted. Let's, Senator Shoemaker would move that we restore the language that is proposed to be deleted on lines 9 through 13 of page 2 of the printed bill. Any discussion?
Oh, Mr. Chair, I like the original bill.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. Well, any other objections? Okay, the record shall reflect that motion is adopted with one dissenting vote. Okay, and the third issue is whether or not the committee wishes to follow the recommendation of Ms. Williams to delete lines 7 and 8 from the existing language, which is would be carried on in the bill, given the other amendments, if not deleted. Just to put the issue before us, the chair will make the motion, although I'll be candid, I'm not sure I'm going to support the motion. The chair would move the deletion of the lines there, 7 and 8, on page 2 of the printed bill, the existing language.
Chair.
Senator Shoemaker.
I think before I would be comfortable in doing that, I would want to hear from some of the judges and lawyers and parties, perhaps, who have been involved in the system and have had their matters arbitrated and see how it's working.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rasmussen.
I'm not positive I'm going to vote for the motion that's coming in a couple of minutes to send this to the floor, because Lane County, in fact, does not have mandatory arbitration, and I have some disagreements with the court about that, but I also have some attachment to some local control issues. But I want to say to your pending motion that we are talking here about arbitration, not mediation, and so that if it doesn't work, one goes to the next stage, and therefore I think that ought to stay in the bill. That makes more sense to me.
Okay.
So I object to your motion, I guess is the proper way to phrase that.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and call the roll on the motion just to get us all on the record here.
But Mr. Chair, I want to...
Before we do that, Senator Shoemaker.
I want to have a question to Senator Rasmussen. I guess I didn't understand arbitration that way, that arbitration is a decision.
Decision.
If you substitute judges, instead of having a judge, you have a lawyer or a some other person make the decision, and then you're, if you don't like it, you pick it up on appeal.
No, that was not what I intended to say. I was saying that arbitration is simply an informal way of moving the process along. If you don't like that, then you have the right to go further in the process.
I don't think you have a right to a trial de novo, though.
From arbitration.
I don't think you do. I guess that's my question.
Well.
Maybe someone here knows the answer to that.
I thought you did, so maybe I better answer that question. It refers to a trial de novo on page 3, line 18 of the bill, so maybe I need some clarification.
That's my understanding. Mr. Corrigan, you're here on another bill, but you want to help us out here.
Chuck Corrigan, I'll clarify that under the current court annex statute, if you lose, you are entitled to go back to court.
Trial de novo.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr.
That's
Corrigan.
That's what I was trying to
You were right. That's why I asked the question. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Williams, we're...
I just want to add one thing. The most crucial thing about this is that the loser, and this I forgot to bring this up, the loser pays everything. In other words, if you don't come out as well as you did in the lower portion of the lower judgment, then you pay everybody's bills and fees, and this would really impact older women, because to go in there without money, as most of them are, you've got to pay your husband's fees, your fees, all the witnesses, because you don't come out as well. This could be devastating. This is one of our major objections. I'm sorry I didn't bring that up earlier. And that goes for the appeal, too. If you go on into the appeal, you also pay again. If you don't come out well in the lower court, or the lower arbitration, you pay everybody's bills and expenses. Then you go into appeal, and if you don't come out as well, you pay all over again. And this would really deter most of the women that are not career women from ever going in for appeals. Mm-hmm. And it would put the fear of God into sitting in arbitration.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the motion before us is to delete lines 7 and 8 of the existing law. Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
No.
Senator Shoemaker?
No.
Senator Walker?
No.
Senator Rasmussen?
No.
Chair Springer?
No.
Mr. Chairman, can we make it unanimous? I'll be no, too.
Okay, Smith changes to no. Motion fails. Okay, are we ready to go on the bill? Any other issues?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to remind the committee members that Washington State has mandatory arbitration, remember, and it works very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is a money saver.
It is a money saver.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Hamby moves 308 as amended to the floor. Do pass. Further discussion? Not the clerk will please call the roll.
Senator Rasmussen?
No.
Senator Weber?
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
No.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Chair Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. We'll, I knew Senator Rasmussen didn't want to carry that bill. we'll check with Senator Dwyer, and he's a sponsor. If he doesn't want, we'll call on the VC here to have the honor. Thank you.
Okay. This is the only way to get Lane County to do it, is that?
Yeah, it is the only way to get Lane County.
There appears to be a division in the Lane County delegation. Okay. What's next, Council? Shall we do juveniles?
Sure, Mr. Chair.
We got a lot of smiling faces back there.
Senate Bill 1051, and there are 8 sets of amendments.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that they will be delivered to you in one package, and I have made a sheet called the Key to Amendments. So hopefully this will be something that will assist you in keeping track.
Is everybody on board?
Well, Mark, Kim, who else wants to come forward on these?
There you go.
Kingsley?
Come on down.
How much fun can one group have, huh?
Hey.
Okay, I guess we're going to find out.
We're a fun-loving group. Mark wants to stay back and listen to the game, and I told him that
what
I would...
That
what's the score?
What is it? We're
It's 1.1
But you could have predicted that this morning.
Take a break.
I've told Mark that I would be glad to represent the DA's interest and he can listen to the game, but I don't think he's going to go for that.
Well, we could always turn that little thing around and keep the audio down.
Yeah,
he's a technician.
All of the amendments are fine. You'll like them.
Okay. Good. Well, we're gonna
trust me, I'm a lawyer.
Okay. We're going to actually, we've got the key to the amendments. I'd like to, while members are reaching to the bill file to pull up this, how many section, how many page bill? 125 sections, 56 pages.
CSDs, department, departments.
These will be called dash 8.
Thanks.
Which are ours.
Oh, these are yours.
Sort of. And we should be.
Kingsley, you want to go ahead and start off here?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I'll let Tim Travis, because he's representing the group that put together the bill, and I'll just, when you need me on an amendment, I'll pop in.
Okay. Tim?
How's that for a handoff?
Thanks a lot.
I don't want to take away your glory.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I got plenty of glory. I don't really, I didn't really have a presentation vis-a-vis all of the amendments.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, if you haven't, our council is going to give you each one so you can work off the same.
Okay, sure.
Of course, we've got here.
Thank you very much.
Okay, my desire would be to go ahead and take a motion on each one of these amendments as we describe them and allow for questions, and then assuming that we complete consideration of the amendments, then go on to a motion on the bill as amended.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, shall I speak to CSD if no one's here from there? And Doug Hutchinson is here for the dash 3. So.
Okay. Ms. Quigley is authorized to speak on behalf of CSD on the dash 1.
Good.
I'm not sure about that, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, but the dash 1 amendments were taken from the testimony of Len Monks at the public hearing on this bill. And they essentially have to do with being able to make sure that there's language in the bill having to do with best efforts and reasonable efforts at time of removal that trigger the ability to get federal funds under Title IV-E. And without that language and without those types of determination, a child loses out in many ways, having to do with medical coverage, having a relative be paid by CSD for foster care, and also that federal funding, that federal scheme opens up the ability for CSD to issue some subsidies in adoptions and various other matters that seem to be positive. So those amendments, the dash one amendments, add that triggering language in this bill.
Okay. From the three parties represented here at the witness table, any objections to the dash one amendments?
No.
Concerns? Anyone else out in the audience?
Could I say I have not had a chance to read them, so I was not aware of them, but it does not appear to be anything controversial.
Okay. Were you aware of Mr. Monk's testimony? Were you here when he testified? Do you recall?
On that day, there was another bill I think I was covering.
Okay.
My attention was drawn to that.
Okay. Well, if you identify any problem later, please let us know.
I will.
Okay.
I should also say that Judge Harrell is aware of this. I met with him this morning, and he approves.
Okay. Okay. The chair would move the dash one amendments. Any objections? If not, adopted. Dash two, requested by the Judicial Department. Counsel?
Perhaps Kingsley can add something to this, but essentially it just reflects some technical changes in the language with that, say the referee's findings go into a court register and they also reflect the fact that the citizen review boards are established by the judicial department, not by division or juvenile court, as it's mentioned in the bill. So it just reflects what is reality, as opposed to sort of misstatements in this bill. And again, Judge Harrell, and I understand the project that worked on this and the task force has approved.
Right.
We've been through all.
That's correct.
The Dash 8 amendments.
Okay. Any additional comments from our panel or anyone else here on the Dash 2 amendments? Chair would move the Dash 2 amendments. Any objections? If not, they're adopted. Okay. Next amendments.
Mr. Chair, Doug Hutchinson, I believe, is here to speak. If any members have any questions about the Dash 3 amendments, I did get a note from Legislative Council saying that there was one question about page 3, line 7. These are the amendments that deal with recognition of the Indian Child Welfare Act and making sure all this bill recognizes and reflects all the requirements of that act. And I'm advised by Mr. Hutchinson that on page 3, line 7, that has to do with who is going to be required when the court is ordered to have someone notify the tribe about a child taken into protective custody. I believe the answer is CSD, and Mr. Hutchinson might give us a brief comment about why that's the case, because it follows something that they're doing already.
Okay, Mr. Hutchinson, welcome.
Thank you. I'm Doug Hutchinson, the Executive Officer of the Oregon Commission on Indian Services, and I'm not the regular crew chief on this bill either. But the point we're referring to, that information is contained within this document, which was published by Children's Services Division several years ago. It's a compilation of the bill itself in the back, the state's agreement with the Indian tribes of Oregon on the rules and regulations pertaining to this, and it contains within its pages several forms. One form, which appears on page 30, appears on page 32 of the document, is notice to the child's tribe. And it's a form for the court to fill out. And the first line says, pursuant to the Indian Child Welfare Act of 1978, 25 U.S.C. 1912, Children's Services Division as petitioner in the above matter gives notice to the name of tribe of the child, custody, and so forth. These cases, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, almost invariably arise with a CSD caseworker involved. It's almost beyond my comprehension of how it would arise in any other posture. And so CSD is prepared to give this notice because they do know who the tribes are, they do know how to contact them, and they are familiar with the law. And I guess most importantly, the Indian Child, the Children's Services Division does have on staff a full-time Indian Child Welfare Act specialist to handle these kinds of matters.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I might make one other comment, thank you. That these amendments were requested also by the National American Native American Legal Services, and the Commission on Indian Services jointly? Or?
Mr. Chair, that's not exactly correct. These were proposed by the Native American Program of Oregon Legal Services, representing several of the Indian tribes of Oregon. The Commission on Indian Services itself, since this last meeting, did not have time to deal with this issue. So all 9 of our members are tribes that are represented who have an input here, which puts me in a very, frankly, Mr. Chairman, in a very awkward position, because I see a change that I think truly needs to be made here before this goes forward. And to do so is probably going to get me in all kinds of trouble with my folks, because they haven't told me to bring this to your attention. But in this Dash 3 amendment, at line 5 of page 1, it says, the state of Oregon recognizes the value of the Indian Child Welfare Act 25 U.S.C. 1901 to 1923 and hereby incorporates the act in its entirety. I think that may not be exactly what what the committee would want to do, because the act in its entirety consists of several portions, some relating to federal grant programs, some referencing Title III record-keeping information availability and timetables, that kind of thing. I don't know that the Act in its entirety needs to be incorporated as much as my belief is that it should say, and hereby adopts the policy embodied in its provisions, because I think that's what they intended to say, but got carried away.
If I may, Mr. Chair, as one Tim. Who was carried away, this is, those of us who went to law school remember the phrase abundance of caution. What happened was that the Naples attorney went through the juvenile code and attempted to make sure that everything from ICWA that was relevant to our juvenile code got put in there. All of these references that are being put into our juvenile code, in truth, it isn't necessary to put them in there because they're the law. And whether they're in our juvenile code or not, they're the law. And the reason that it's a good idea to put them in there is so that all the judges in Oregon know they're the law, because it's awkward to have ICWA in one hand and the juvenile code in the other and cross-reference, so we just put them together. If we incorporate the Act in its entirety, we pick up a lot of surplusage. There's no doubt about it. Mr. Hutchinson's right. But we don't do any harm. And if we, in trying to go through, and we did this in kind of a hurried manner because those of us on the committee blew it and did not include the Native Americans from the beginning when they have concurrent jurisdiction over these children. So if we put the entire Act in, if we forgot something, then we're cutting down on problems. I don't think it's a problem either way. I think Mr. Hutchinson has a point, but that's why it was done this way.
Okay. Senator Shoemaker.
Would there be time to do a more careful job of this before the bill comes up before the appropriate House committee?
That would be the chair's recommendation, probably, to get this going with a note and or letter to make sure it follows.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shoemaker, we believe that we've done the job, but we're, you know, always aware of situations where everybody thinks they've done the job and they didn't do it. So that's why it's done the way it is. I don't know that we would find anything more in another week if we sat down to do it.
But then I may pursue it.
Yes.
If you were satisfied that you did incorporate specifically mm-hmm. the portions of the Act which are important or which should apply, then we could follow the recommendation that we incorporate the policy rather than the
we certainly can.
Verbiage, which seems to me would be a more responsible job on our part.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Tim. Sure. Any other points on the Dash 3 amendments? Okay, Council, it's your recommendation that we further amend the amendments by entering CSD in the blank on line 7 on page 3.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we shall do that. Chair would so move. Any objection? If not, it's adopted. Chair would move the Dash 3 amendments as further amended with the proviso as suggested by the Vice Chair, I believe, that we continue to work with Mr. Hutchinson and Mr. Travis to see if any further refinement to the cross-reference and incorporation of the U.S. Code is appropriate, and if so, we will make that a recommendation to the House Committee.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if we wouldn't be more comfortable with accepting Mr. Hutchinson's recommendation and then allow them to amend the verbiage of the Act. Bill in the House, if it finds other provisions within the federal act that should be specifically folded into this act. I think I'd be more comfortable than incorporating the act in its entirety and then changing that around.
Okay, I'm not sure what Mr. Hutchinson recommended, or it's his desire that we delete all the language there on lines 5, 6, and 7 on page 1 of the Dash 3 amendments.
Chair, Doug Hutchinson again.
Yeah.
The point I think that I was making was that the concern of the Indian community really was that somewhere in Oregon law today there needs to be a reference to the Indian Child Welfare Act, and particularly a reference to its policy reach, which is to preserve and maintain Indian families. It's almost a misnomer, actually, because it's called the Indian Child Welfare Act. It has to do with children, but a great deal of it has to do with the state and the tribes working together with Indian families to keep them together. So The policy is the point that I was making, that I felt that what we were incorporating here, I hoped, was the policy that's embodied within the provisions of the federal law.
So the language
Yeah, well, that doesn't tell me what you want in or out.
The state of Oregon, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rasmussen.
The state of Oregon recognizes the value of the Indian Child Welfare Act 25, blah, 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 and hereby incorporates the policies of that act, period.
Whatever that is.
That's it.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think there is a problem.
I'm easy. With that. I don't care. Whatever Mr. Hutchinson and the committee like, doesn't matter to me.
The preamble to this act is a critical portion of it, Mr. Chair. That's the government's statement of its view of the problem, and that's the policy portion.
Is there a statutory reference to the preamble?
Mr. Chair, Senator Shoemaker, there is. I don't have the exact reference.
It incorporates the preamble of the act embodied in USC section
25 USC. I believe it's section 1901, Senator Shoemaker, but I'm not absolutely certain at this point.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rasmussen.
Could you tell me where we are? I'm getting tired and hot.
Well, I think you made a motion to adopt an amendment on line 6 that you want to restate that?
Yeah, I'll do that. That we amend line 6 of the dash 3 amendments to read and hereby incorporates the policies of that act, period, omitting the rest of 6 and then 7. And then my purpose in the motion is that the House can then expand it.
Hereby adopts.
Which they may wish to do by looking more closely at the act. And that, I think, satisfies Senator Shoemaker's concern and maybe gets us moving on to dash 4.
Okay. Council, you got that?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
You want to repeat that for us?
Sub 3, line 5 and 6 on the dash 3 amendments would now read, the state of Oregon recognizes the value of the Indian Child Welfare Act in the site and hereby incorporates the policies of that act, period, and deleting in its entirety.
Is that what you intended, Senator Rasmussen?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Rasmussen has so moved the amendment to the dash 3 amendments. Any objection? Adopted. Okay, dash 3 amendments as amended. Chair would move them.
Did we adopt the CSD amendment?
Yes. Any objection to the dash 3 amendments as amended? If not, they're adopted. What's next?
The dash 4 amendments requested by the Juvenile and Family Justice Project, adding the advance of patient section of ORS to this bill.
Okay. Who's the proponent of that? Mr. Travis?
Yes.
Okay.
It belongs
there. Any objections?
No objections.
Okay. Chair would move the dash 4 amendments. Any objections? If not, adopted. Dash 5.
Dash 5 were the amendment requested by Senator Smith of this committee and his concern about the definition of father.
Okay. Senator Smith?
I believe this reflects a tighter definition that is appropriate.
Okay.
I would move that dash 5 amendment.
Thank you. Senator Smith moves the dash 5 amendment. Any objection from the panel or comments? Any objection from members? If not, that's adopted. Dash 6.
The dash 6 amendments requested by the Judicial Department to remove section 39 and 40 of the bill.
Okay. Any objections from the panel? Kingsley, what's it do?
For the record, Kingsley Flick, State Court Administrator's Office. Mr. Chair, they put back in the original language that was passed in Senate Bill 257, which relates to appointment of counsel for parents in dependency situations. 39 and 40 would have expanded beyond current law, which was not the intent of the project. So it just takes it back to the language that you've already passed previously.
Okay. Does that mean it's in the court's discretion? It's no longer mandatory, basically?
Senator Springer, it is in the court's discretion. There's a test that's applied from the Grannis case, and that sets out the conditions under which there's appointment of counsel.
Okay.
Mr. Travis. This expanded it into other areas like emancipation and things, right, minor things that weren't really intended by the proponents.
Okay. Seeing no other objections from the panel members, I will take that to mean that they're not going to object. Obviously, the chair would move adoption of the Dash 6 amendments. Any objection by the committee? If not, adopted. Dash 7.
Dash 7 amendments, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, were brought to me by Timothy Travis. And there are two parts to the Dash 7. The first is to replace Section 38 sub 2 with the language of Senate Bill 200. And if you recollect, that's the bill passed by out of this committee and on the Senate floor.
Aye.
Senator Rasmussen?
Aye, and I might also say I'm subject to being persuaded too, but I'm an aye.
Chair Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Okay. I'd like to move the bill as amended to the floor. Do pass. Further discussion? Clerk will please call the roll.
Senator Rasmussen?
Aye.
Senator Weber?
Aye.
Senator
Schumacher? Aye. Senator Smith? Aye. Chair Springer? Aye. This wasn't discussed, but it's in this amendment about the different date that it is. This is 30 days after passage. I mean, there's good rationale for discussion. Votes aye. Motion's adopted. Okay. Any volunteers? Looks like the chair gets this one, too. Okay. Thank you all. We're not going to deal with 391 tonight. While we're still here, we had a couple of folks who wanted to be recorded on a couple bills. I think Senator Rasmussen wanted to be recorded or enter a different vote on 1051. Or do you want to be recorded as an aye vote?
I wanted to be recorded as an aye vote on 1051. I'm
okay.
It doesn't change the outcome.
Okay, Senator Weber, you want to be reported as an aye vote on 244?
Yes.
Okay, any objection to that? If not, adopted. Any other business to come before the committee? If not, we're done.
Can anybody tell us when 391 is going to come up?
Well, should be next week.
Couldn't be until next week.
Well, my sense is it's going to take